Welcome all to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung, and class is now in session. Folks, it has been a minute, and I apologize again for the delay, the more sporadic way of me uploading podcasts. It's not something I'm intentionally doing. It's just literally that my life has just gotten a lot more busy. Busy how? Like, what am I doing exactly? I guess I'm just busy being out in the world these days. When I was living in LA, weirdly, I wasn't really that out in the world. Like, I would mostly be home alone all the time and then just step out just to do shows or just to do mics or just to audition. And then the rest of the time, I would just be home by myself. But lately, it's like my life's just taken on a different kind of pace and rhythm. I'm also sharing a space and a life with a partner now. So things have just been different lately. But that's not a bad thing. I would say that's a good thing. I for sure felt like it was time for me to just live my life rather than just like explore it through my head all the time, which was the primary thing that I have been doing. And yeah, on the one hand, it keeps me productive, creatively productive. But on the other hand, it's also like, you know, I'm not living a life. So, you know what? Like, the summer has been very rich, vibrant. I traveled all over the country. I should have posted this last week because I did headline a show. What I would say, this is my first headlining gig in Wisconsin. I headlined at a show in Eau Claire at The Plus, which is a lovely venue. All kinds of A-list celebrities come through and do stand up there. And it was a real honor. I just got lucky with that booking. It was a last minute booking because another comedian fell through, and I did a 4-minute set at Comedy on State, which is a local club here in Madison. And the set went really well. And there happened to be a producer in the crowd. And he walked up to me, complimented me, and said that he would like me to headline a show for him a week later. So it was a very, very last minute booking. We hardly had time to promote it, but I still brought three Madison comedian buddies. One of whom you'll actually hear on this podcast at some point, Brianne Wilhite, and two other local comedians, Gerard Donnell and Rory Roosh, very funny comedians. So it was a really lovely gig, and you know, the crowd was attentive and present and wonderful to us, and we just had a good time. So shout out to Clearwater Comedy out in Eau Claire. Thank you so much for the booking. And thank you so much for the good vibes. What else? I am working on a couple of books at the moment. One of them is really getting down to it. We're getting down to like the last few loose screws, and we're going to, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's, and then we'll be ready to finish this book and sell it, because that is the goal. Right now it's like, I got no choice. I got to sell this book. There's nothing else that is more of a priority right now than to sell this book so that Grace can continue to make a living. I am sort of back to living my life as a full-time artist. I think I'm going to be having an art show actually this fall. Yeah. So my visual art, my paintings, my acrylic work will now be on display in Madison's newest and latest gallery. It's called Mindfully Inspired, and we're going to hold a show on October 5th. So if any of you are in Wisconsin, please come to my art show on October 5th. We're going to have DJ B. Pilar, who is the guest for today's podcast. She will be there DJing for that show. I do have to say that I had very good luck meeting wonderful people here in Madison, and DJB is one of those good people. So I'm very, very pleased to have her as a guest on this podcast, and we'll be learning more about her. Now, before we get into that, we do need to discuss this show. It's called Heavenly Ever After, starring Kim Hye-ja and my dearest favorite, Son Sak-gu. The show was written by Yi Nam-gyu and Kim Soo-jin and directed by Kim Seok-yoon. And this show is very, very similar to another show that we discussed on this podcast, which is called The Light in Your Eyes. That came out 6 years ago, back in 2019. And the feel of the show, like when I'm watching this, it's not only because Kim Hye-ja is the one that is starring in this show, it's also because like the show just has a certain feel. Like the way the way the dialogue is written and the way that the melodrama sort of, you know, sort of blossoms open. And it's because the same writers of Heavenly Ever After, Yi Nam-gyu and Kim Soo-jin are, the same writers of The Light in Your Eyes are writing for Heavenly Ever After. So we have this show that is starring Kim Hye-ja, who is now in her 80s, I believe, and she is still the lead on these TV shows. I mean, that is quite the feat, right? I mean, this veteran actress who we've grown up seeing on television and in films like Mother by Bong Joon-ho, I mean, she is just like, I mean, she just doesn't stop. She just has so much energy. She has so much more to give. And I felt like the role that she was playing was pretty complicated on this, because on the one hand, like, she's playing this elderly woman who seems very, how do I say, you know, fragile, but turns out she's quite tough because she's like the local area's loan shark. So, I mean, you have these tiers, or not even tiers, styles of loan sharking. All right. So the typical loan shark we know is the gangster. Like, he's a thug. He wears, you know, suits, and he like lends money, and then he has like his little stooges who go out and get that money back. But there are these other local money lenders who are like an ajumma, like a middle-aged woman. And she does pretty much the same thing. She has a high interest rate, and she goes around doling out money and then collecting when it's time for her to collect her debt, and she has muscle. And of course, on this show, she has her beloved muscle. The show is dealing with the concept of past lives and reincarnation. It's dealing with Eastern philosophy, Buddhist and Hindu religious mythology or belief systems. And it's really quite interesting the way that they handle it, because they're also dealing with the concept of karma. For instance, the person that Kim Hye-ja's character hires, or doesn't hire, she adopts her, adopts as her muscle, grows up and then ends up sort of like getting caught in between in the afterlife realm. So she's not quite dead. She's in a coma, but she reunites with Kim Hye-ja's spirit in the afterlife. And in that time, she is able to reconnect with her past lives. And when she does, she realizes that she and Kim Hye-ja's character had some kind of karma to work out. So I thought that was really, really fascinating. And this isn't new. I was reading more about past lives and karma and soul contracts and spirit contracts. I was learning that mostly through Dolores Cannon's books and reading all these spiritual texts written by like Ram Dass or even Michael Singer, like all these like woohoo type books. Lately, I'm reading this book called The Serpent of Light, written by Drunvalo Melechenik or something like that. I can't remember his last name. quite precisely, but like he's another one of those, you know, these like spiritual journey individuals who writes about their experiences and then connects them with like ancient texts and what have you. So this show is very innovative in the fact that it's dealing with past lives, soul contracts. Oh, Caroline Miss, another individual who writes about soul contracts more specifically. This is something that I'm like very much into, just not only because it's fun and it makes life a little bit more rich and vibrant and meaningful to me, but also because I don't know, I do find it more creatively inspiring. So Heavenly Ever After, a fascinating show. It has, I think, just 12 episodes. It's not one of these like heavy hitter types, but I was really surprised to see Hunsaku on this show. Like, very odd casting, in my opinion. Very odd selection. Because, like, Hunsaku is still a bit of a heartthrob, I would say, in South Korea. And he has this opportunity to be in a rom-com, but it's not with, like, another actor in her 30s. Or even 40s. It's somebody in her 80s. Yeah, somebody who is like twice his age. So I don't know what to make of that other than, you know, it's hilarious and fascinating. I do think that there is some kind of empowerment behind it. Like, no age is too old for a woman to be attractive or sexually empowered or interested or whatever. I mean, talk about like major cougaring. This is like next level cougaring. Kim Hye-ja as a cougar to Hunsaku. I mean, holy cow. Like, that's really quite something. This show also deals with like how to process one's past wounds in a productive manner. It also demonstrates a kind of grace. Like, there is a concept of hell on this show. I personally am not a believer of hell per se, like the way that it's been written in like these, not even written, they weren't written. They were just discussed, like in the church setting. These Christians talk about this eternal fire pit called hell, and that's just not real. But on this show, they do adopt this revivalist Christian concept of hell, and they apply it, and they have a very clear delineation between what is good and what is evil. But at the same time, they have characters like Kim Hye-ja's character, who is not quite evil, not quite good. I mean, a very complicated medley mix, and so she could go either way, but she does end up in heaven, which is quite fascinating. And also dealing with amnesia. Like, that's something I'm actually realizing right now. It both Light in Your Eyes and Heavenly Ever After, they're dealing with amnesia. In the case with the Light in Your Eyes, it was like dementia, you know, it was Alzheimer's. That's what we were dealing with. But with Heavenly Ever After, we're dealing with more like forced amnesia out of trauma, out of the loss of one's child and the grief that comes with it, and the suppression of memory, and where does that go? And if you think about it on a meta level, like, what is the metaphor of that? Like, what happens to suppressed hardship, suppressed sorrow, suppressed memory? Well, it ends up eating that person alive in a different way. It ends up coming out in a different way. And it certainly does come out on this show. Like, she's like, her spirit is sort of wavering between like, am I going to be good or am I going to be evil? How does one come into wholeness? And that's something that I was sort of working through a few weeks ago when I participated in a past life hypnoregression session, or QHHT. I think it's called quantum hypno healing therapy or something, but that's something that Dolores Cannon sort of started. And I went to one of these therapies in Milwaukee, and my question was quite specific. It was like, I have all this anger in me, all this rage, and I have all these like negative feelings and anger towards certain individuals and certain events that have happened in my life. And I was just asking, like, how do I get rid of it or how do I stop it? And the answer was, you don't get rid of it and you don't stop it. You see? So, like, if you try to get rid of anything in your mind or in your memory bank or in your experiences, you know, like that internal monologue that's always on, if you try to suppress anything that's being said in there or run away from it or resist it, then that is the beginning of hell, actually. The way to cope with it, like, how do I cope with this? How do I allow this? How do I just let it be and still try to live my life as positively as I can? I mean, that total acceptance of, like, when anger arrives, for me to say, oh, this too. When sorrow or feelings of regret, when they arrive, saying, oh, okay, this too. Just accepting it as part of my life's experience and proceeding from there. I think that's sort of the path, right? And this show does emphasize that. Like, when she represses that memory, pretends like the loss of her son is not even a reality in her life, that's when the illness begins, her amnesia, and her shattered self appears. And I thought dealing with these kinds of themes, which are somewhat lofty spiritual sort of themes, I thought the show was quite good at dealing with that. All right. So other than that, like I said, our guest today is DJ BPLAR. I met DJ BPLAR at a queer festival here in Madison at the local zoo, which is just like a 5-minute bike ride away from where I live. She was there. I met her through another mutual friend who was also a DJ, and she was just like this bright ball of light, just so much joy and heart and spirit. And I just casually was conversing with her, and turns out she used to be a gallery, you know, curator and owner back in Bangkok, Thailand, which is where she's from. She moved to Madison a few years ago with her husband, who is from Wisconsin. And she just is immersed in the art scene here. She also teaches how to DJ. And she's just all around a wonderful spirit and a good time. She just does these amazing videos of her like DJing on the back seat of a Mini Cooper, and she'll just drive around like filming videos of herself doing that while driving around Madison, just DJing. And it's like just beautiful stuff. So it is my great pleasure and honor to speak to DJ BPLAR. So tell me this story about you almost burning your house down.
So it was a rough morning today. Uh-huh. I mean, I woke up and it was a morning, like normal morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to cook for myself.
Yeah.
Cook.
Breakfast.
Breakfast, yes. And I went to the refrigerator. Uh-huh. And I found like, oh, I got chicken.
Yeah.
And I just like put it in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And it's normal, like turned out normal. I got the chicken and I was like, maybe I need some carbohydrate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I put tortilla into the oven.
Yeah.
And then I just like set my chicken on the table. And then I was like, maybe I wait for the, you know, like make it heat.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy with my chicken.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm too enjoy with my chicken.
Mm.
It's quite long.
Mm.
And then I just walk back to my tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on fire. I flame my house.
So you set your tortilla on fire.
It's on fire.
Oh no.
It's quite big.
Yeah. It was a full burrito sized tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
It is. And I was like, I never facing the fire in my house before. And I was like,
yeah, what did you do?
And I just grabbed the, what is that? The baking soda.
Baking soda, yeah.
And put it in.
Oh, yeah.
I use it all, but it's still going on. Yeah.
It didn't do anything.
No, an alarm just off. Like,
oh, no. This is full fire.
It is. And then it was like, what should I do? What should I do? I just grab a plate and then trying to drag my tortilla in the plate.
Yeah.
With the whole, I unplug first.
Oh, good.
I unplug it. Uh-huh. And then I drag my tortilla and ran in front of my house and then throw it to the floor.
Okay, good. All right, you got the fire out of the house.
I do.
That's great. That's great. You're a hero. You did it. Okay, so you're a hero then.
I'm a hero for myself.
Yeah, you're both the culprit and the hero of this fire story. You had to do both. Yeah. Is it because you needed to feel like a hero? Like, you're like, how can I feel like a hero today? Let me create a fire and then put it out. Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That would be me today.
Yeah.
I woke up with like, I need to be a hero.
You need to be a hero today.
Yes.
So let me start a fire, you know, pretend like I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
This was all for you. You created this whole drama for yourself.
It is.
I'm proud of you, Ming.
Thank you.
Good job.
Oh my God. This is the best thing I heard today.
Yes.
You're proud of me.
I'm very proud of you. So, okay. So, I mean, we're new buddies. We met recently at the Henry Vilas Zoo for Pride Month, the Pride celebration, which was so fun.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oh my God. It's so fun.
So fun.
If somebody never be there,
yeah,
please be there.
Gotta go.
You gotta go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so fun.
It was like an incredible time. I went like not having a very high expectation. We both know Sarah, our DJ friend.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, I'll just go say hi to Sarah. But then that drag show, oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm from Bangkok and I went to the drag show. I always love drag show.
Yeah.
I always like, they always got my voice.
Yeah.
The end of the show, I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. You're just screaming the whole time.
Oh my God.
There are a lot of good drag shows in Bangkok.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Like, all of the drag show, I mean, like, all of them good because, like, how they, you know, like, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it with love. Mm-hmm. They do it with passion.
Yeah.
I appreciate all of them. I can't compare with the best or what.
Yeah.
But all of them good.
Yeah.
All of them, like, what they're trying to, you know, express out.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a form of expression, but embodying a different character, right?
Correct.
Like, maybe somebody they really wish they could be all the time.
Right. You know?
Like the ideal self.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, who would that be? It's like, oh, she would be such a bad bitch.
Right.
Like, confident, beautiful,
sexy. Right.
Yeah.
And then what I can do for them, just scream for
scream
them.
Scream like hell. Yeah.
Right.
It's actually really liberating to scream real loudly. I like screaming. Do you like screaming?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, like, you can see how loud I am.
Did you just scream during the fire today?
The fire is different. My scream just, like, go back to my body.
Because you were actually scared.
Yes. It's different thing. I was like,
yeah. And your husband wasn't home?
No.
It was just you and the fire.
Yes.
You were the only hero.
And the victim.
Yeah. Both victim and hero. Tortilla. Girl, we need to get you a tortilla before you leave.
I know. I didn't get one because it's all burned.
Yeah.
Poor me.
Poor you. We'll get you another tortilla.
Thank you.
So I want to know more about, because you're a DJ. This is what you do. I saw some of your videos. They look so cool with the top-down convertible car. Whose is that? Is that your husband's car?
It's my car.
You have a convertible? That's so badass.
I am.
That's amazing. What kind of car is it?
It's a Mini Cooper.
Oh my God. You have a top-down Mini Cooper? That is amazing.
Thank you.
What color is it?
It's an orange.
Orange?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so you got this Mini Cooper and you're DJing in the backseat, making videos. I mean, like, how did you come up with that idea?
I just saw many, like, the DJ, many people thinking they could just DJ in the club, in the bar, but, you know, like, we live in 2025, you know, like, the music everywhere.
Yeah.
And then DJ, not just in the club.
Yeah.
It's so many DJ, they make a, you know, like, perform in the bakery shop, pizza shop.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, no, you're great. You're great.
And a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Bangkok, they just, like, do live DJ from the boat on the canal. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The boat thing, that sounds super cool.
This is so cool and scary because of the water and equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, right. So it has to be a nice boat, right? It can't be like a shitty... It can't be like a canoe or a kayak.
No.
High risk.
No, but I saw someone, he do it on the kayaking, I guess.
Yeah.
And with the full setup of a turntable.
Wow.
And I was like, you are so brave.
Very brave.
But really, if he saw this, like, you're so cool.
Yeah, because that is high risk. I don't know if I could do that. I'd be too scared.
It's too scared. Yeah. I couldn't focus on my set at all. I would be like,
The
water just not comes up.
Yeah, because my partner and I, we do have like a two-person canoe, and it can get choppy, like, especially if it's windy, then like water splashes, like the boat goes like this, and we don't have any electronics, just our phones, but there's all this like fishing gear, and even losing that, it's like, oh no, we don't want to do that.
True.
Imagine losing like thousands of dollars worth of stuff. That would suck.
Yeah. Right. He's so brave.
Yeah. So, okay. So you wanted to do something different visually. So you chose the convertible. And that's like perfect. You know, when I saw the videos, I was like, this is actually a perfect idea. Because it's simple and cool. And and you look great, like, in the back seat like that. You look super cool. You look like you're having so much fun.
Thank you for, you know, seeing that great. Because in real life, it's like, My controller.
Okay, so behind the scenes, there's a lot more maneuvering going on. Okay, correct. Understandable. So, okay, when did you start DJing, and why did you choose DJing specifically?
I started in 2009, and with my friend. She's a good DJ. Her name is DJ Sound Stylist back in Thailand. And I just, you know, like, I'm taking a class with her, the master degree with her. And then I talked to her all about, like, how I love music. And she was like, you know what? Let's start your, you know, DJ. And then I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And she just, like, taught me just, like, I guess... 6 hours.
Wow.
And then she was like, okay, let's go, I think you're ready. And I was like, ready for what? And she just like let me sign up for the competition, just 6 hours. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
With like, that is like kind of like pioneer ladies DJ, something like that. And yeah, I signed up for that.
And then you performed.
I did perform there.
And how did that feel?
Oh my god. Scary.
Scary.
Like, all of, like, the best DJ there. Like, so many good DJ.
Yeah.
On the stage. And then I'm just like, you know, I know what I'm doing, but it doesn't... It can't compare with them. But after that, she just gave me the reason why for me to, you know, like, that she want me to be there. She want me to be like, you have to learn more and more. Please do yourself. This is like Thai faith, okay? Like, be yourself like an empty glass of water. Like, ready to fill it in all the times. And then, so that is like, a good picture for me.
I love that. Wow. Be an empty glass of water that's ready to be full. That's beautiful. That's some Asian shit too, you know? Be like, all right, 6 hours, you're ready to go.
let's do this, you know? Yeah. And that's a good teacher, I feel like.
Cheers.
Yeah. It's like, let's put you, you said you wanted to do this, let's put you to the test. Let's try you out, you know? Like, let's just do it. Don't overthink it. Because if you overthink it, you'll prolong it, you'll get more scared. True. She's just like, let's throw you in the water.
Let's see how you swim.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing. That's beautiful. So you guys were getting your master's degree. What were you guys studying?
We studying about like the communication production, kind of like, you know, like to manage about the marketing about the entertainment industry.
So is that where you started working?
Like it's kind of like connected.
Okay.
When you start some like study something.
Yeah.
And in real life, you didn't like 100% working on your like major, but you can twist it. You know, like what you just learn from, and then in real life, of course, it's not gonna be the same exactly same as the books, but you can adjust it. So I think,
So you think it translated into your DJ work? Is that what you're saying, or?
Oh, my DJ work. Also, like I'm DJ, and also I just think ahead to like create content.
I see.
Branding, and then put some, you know, like, plan about it. What I want from this. What is the end goal of my action? Even all of my set. What is my end goal for? What I want from audience. Even like I'm trying to understand my audience too. And then trying to, you know, like once you understand your audience,
yeah,
and then combine with your style,
yeah,
it's win-win situation happening.
Yeah,
I like my set. They enjoy them time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay, so you move very intentionally. Yeah, you sort of think through, like, what are my intentions? What do I want to achieve? And then you hope to manifest that, more or less. That's rock and roll. Okay, so give me, like, an example. When you last DJed at Cardinal Bar, for instance, like, do you remember what your intention was?
Like the last set, I was preparing my set. I was like, okay, I'm gonna play this.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be like, bang. Everyone gonna like it. Because like, I prepare like pop music, my top 40. And it turned out, it's not everyone top 40. It's my top 40.
Yeah.
And I have to twist and change my set immediately to suit my audience. So like,
so you gotta adjust.
Yes.
Yeah That makes sense. So you're always kind of like thinking on your toes, and you're sort of feeling out the room constantly. I guess. Okay,
like, and then so many DJ, we, the DJ world, we have so many DJ, nothing wrong, nothing right, like completely wrong, completely work 100%. We have like show DJ, which is like, they're so cool, they're so skilled, people go there, people be there because of them. They just like expect they to, you know, like show something out. So that is like kind of like show perform DJ, like like the turntablist, or you know, like the music festival DJ. And also like there are another DJ, should I say another, like the DJ that trying to, you know, like relate to the crowd, like okay, do you like that? Okay, you like that, or oh, you don't like that. Let's find something out. Make it make me, you and me. Make you and me have a good time together.
Okay, so kind of trying to develop like some kind of relationship, like in on an instant basis. And it's like what I like about it, because I feel like DJing is a very unique art form, because you're playing other people's music, but stylizing it in your own way. And then you're also trying to connect with a room full of strangers from that, from these songs.
Correct.
Right. And it's like, there's still an artistry there. It's like, you're kind of like a conductor in a way, right? And you're also there to like play with them in a way, like, oh, do you like this? Oh, no, maybe this is better. Oh, no, maybe this is better. Like trying to, right, sort of check off the boxes, see what works.
Correct.
So like, what kind of, how would you describe yourself as a DJ? Like, what kind of DJ are you? Like, are you a music festival DJ? Are you, I don't know, what, how would you describe yourself?
I describe myself like, I like to enjoy with, you know, with people.
Yeah.
I just enjoy when people enjoy with it.
Okay. So yes. You're a hospitable DJ. You're a hostess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning, you know, like the crowd, from the crowd, like, oh, I just moved the country. I just moved here for like just 2 years.
Yeah.
And everything new for me.
Yeah.
What in like, kind of like music in my country, what they like and what people here like, totally different.
Very different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. So there is a learning curve, I guess, because I guess culturally speaking, there's a shift for sure. So I don't know, like, tell me some of your success stories, like when you were transitioning here and you're still transitioning, but it's like, all right, like you had to implement what in order to adapt to the crowds here?
Like, I feel like my success story, I put it in to like, this success is mean like I understand it more, and I understand the way that I have to learn more. I have to study more about like, what is the universal language on this area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, because I'm totally, I don't understand. I never, I never experienced here before. Like, that is a good success that I could find a way to understand more. Better than I have no idea what it should go.
So give me an example. Like, you're saying the universal language. So how would you study that, or how would you research that? Like, give me an example.
I went to the bar, I went to the, you know, so many DJ perform, even from my perform. Just like last time that I performed at Cardinal. Like, what I thought is could work is not work. And what I thought is maybe work, and it's work. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would hear like the audience like responding, like cheering or dancing harder, or crowd coming in, or are those the signs that you're looking for?
That is the sign. Like, people feel like, oh, okay, this is my song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like they can dancing with, singing with, you know.
So what kind of music do you like? Yeah.
That is very difficult because, like, you know, people asking me all the time, like, what kind of music you like.
Yeah.
And it depends on my mood each day. You know.
So today, after burning your tortilla, what kind of song would you play for yourself?
Right. Actually, after that, I didn't play any music because I'm in shock.
Okay.
But right now, I'm like, I'm very in with the acid house.
Acid house? Nice. Nice.
It's very, you know, it's got me some way right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds awesome. I find myself like, I don't know, I like music with no words. Yeah, like no lyrics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want words. I want just like, just sound or noise, but no words. Like, that's the kind of music I look for these days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
You kind of like to enjoy and then in your own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Let me interpret it. Yeah. Because if there are words, it's suddenly so specific.
Yeah, to direct how you think about this rhythm. Mm-hmm. It has to be this way.
Yeah.
So you... Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sure you know the Backstreet Boys, the boy group. So I was like listening to the Backstreet Boys a lot around this time last year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I like all these songs, but the lyrics are so lame, you know? Mm-hmm. The words were just so like shallow and nonsensical, like unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But I liked the tune. So I was just like, yeah, I feel like I'd like the Backstreet Boys better, like, without words. But then you have to have the words, because those are the songs, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, with, like, I don't know, with, like, acid house or techno or, like, jazz, like, you don't always have to have words. You could just have the vibes.
Oh, my God. I love jazz.
Jazz is awesome.
If anyone who listening here ever go to the jazz show or jazz... you know, bar, you would understand, like, how the jazz affect you and take you to, like, many places, like, at first make you exciting with, and sometimes make you tight until you, like, you can't barely breathe well, you know, make you uncomfortable, like, oh my God, it's so tense, and then release you.
Yeah, there is that sweet release. And it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Like you say, it's like, oh, suddenly it's like this, and the mood shifts very suddenly. And yeah, it's like very in the moment. Kind of like you. You're like, well, the kind of music I like depends on the mood I'm in. So it depends on the moment, right? Like there are some songs that I love that like suck when I'm not in the mood for it. Okay. Yeah, it could be annoying or it could be... overwhelming. It's usually annoying sometimes. I'm like, I'm not in the mood for this.
Yes, this is not the right song that I should. It's not now.
Yeah. So did you play any instruments when you were younger?
No, I didn't. I'm just like, you know, listen to music, enjoy, and DJ is like the very first door that, you know, I can interact with what I like.
I think being a DJ is like a unique form of music in that regard. Like, you don't have to know any instruments technically. I took piano lessons when I was a kid.
That's good.
I don't play the piano because we'd never owned a piano, so I could never practice, so I never excelled at all. It was just all a waste of time and money. But sometimes I'm like, I wish I did play music, because music is a form of expression, right? But like, oh, instead of doing that, oh, I could just channel other people's music and direct it in the way that I want. So that's when the DJ becomes kind of like empowered. It's like, oh, is a DJ a musician? You know, like, that's an interesting question. I don't, do you think a DJ is a musician?
For me, no. Like, how I... like, I have a lot of musician friends, and then compare with them knowledge, and, you know, like, in many ways. But it's so many DJ too, like, they study about music, they have the knowledge about, like, the note and, you know, like, ear training. If you have that, that's brilliant. That's good. Like, I didn't say, like, you don't have to learn all of, like, the music background or music theory. If you learn about it, that's plus. That's good for you. It's make your work go like another level.
What about like art of any kind? Do you think that impacts the DJ in a positive or helpful, useful way? Because I know you also, you mentioned that you worked at a gallery or you did curating work.
Yeah, it's like back in the day in 2014, I'm the part owner of an art gallery with my Japanese partner, and we have the street art gallery in Prakanong.
Yeah, yeah. So Bangkok. You talked about the urban style of art that you guys would curate. And I loved what you said about it. I was like, what kind of art would you want to hang in your gallery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think an art, like, think it very, very simply. Like, once you make an art, you're an artist, you know that.
Yeah.
What do you want to communicate? You don't have to think about your audience, but what do you want to bring it out from you, mm-hmm. from inside of you, out to the canvas,
mm-hmm.
you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you didn't think about to like, oh, I want to communicate with my audience about this way, but you want to fulfill your own feeling,
mm-hmm.
to bring it out, and then you feel like, okay, this is the right way, that what I am thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that is already communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So as soon as you see that message come through or penetrate through, you're like, oh, this is worth putting on in my gallery?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And every message, it doesn't have to be like the, you know, that kind to telling you to think that way, because, you know, in art, it's a free form. It's like, it's kind of like the word that you can be free.
Yeah.
You can't tie people to think only this way. This is the box that I want you to think about.
Sure.
Right? And art will be like, this is a free word. This is from me. But whatever you feeling about it,
mm-hmm.
is all yours.
Right, right. I think that's a really great way of putting it, because I was thinking this the other day. You know the saying they say, like, you create your own reality?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard this before?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, my reality is whatever I see and feel and think,
mm-hmm.
and your reality is whatever you see, think, and feel, and it's not the same,
mm-hmm.
totally different, right? So it's correct. Like, essentially, you and I, even though we're in the same space, we're living in different worlds,
correct? Right?
So, like, if we apply that to art, it's like the same thing. It's like whatever I look at and see, oh, I feel like that is art, then mm-hmm. it catches my eye, it's like a part of my world. But, you know, if I go to a museum, or if I even go down State Street during the art fair or whatever, mm-hmm. there's so much art that just doesn't catch my eye,
mm-hmm.
right? They just go right by,
correct?
Like, they're nothing,
correct?
But there are certain pieces I'm like, oh, that's amazing, or oh, that's so cute, and then you point it out, and now they're a part of your world,
correct?
Right? And I feel like art teaches us that phrase, like, you create your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
It really teaches you that, because it's like, whatever I notice, I'm only like, the world is full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So many diverse things.
It is.
But I only notice what I'm capable of noticing, mm-hmm. or what I want to notice, or what matches my vibration or whatever, right?
Yes, like, it's touching your background, or, you know, like, it's just like,
mm-hmm.
maybe the color that catch your eyes,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean like the other one that you didn't like is bad,
mm-hmm.
it's just like not fit in your concept.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I like that. What are like your favorite colors then, or does that also depend on your mood?
Every color is my favorite.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's depend of the mood, the form, what I have to use it for.
So you're wearing yellow today.
Yes, I'm wearing yellow today.
What's yellow for you? What does it represent?
It's a summer.
Summer, yeah. Brightness,
mm-hmm.
joy.
Right, the mm-hmm. sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't scared to use color.
Yeah.
The color is, you know, like, make it fun.
Yeah.
Make it explain how you feel today.
Yeah.
Why should wearing red? Because I just put the flame into my house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I put out a tortilla fire and I feel good about it. Yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow power.
Ta-ta.
So why did you choose orange for your car? Very particular color.
This is funny. Because this car, my husband got it before I arrived here.
Yeah.
And before, like, back in my in Thailand. I'm from Thailand.
Yeah.
I got the orange motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to use motorcycle because, like, it's traffic in Bangkok.
Traffic's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I got an orange motorcycle.
Oh.
It's so cute. It's like...
Yeah. So, you come here and you see an orange car.
And he have an orange car, too.
Wow.
I don't know why, but we... Our destiny is orange car.
You know what the color orange is in the chakras?
The what?
You know chakras?
No, sorry.
You have crown chakra, throat chakra, heart chakra, solar plexus.
Oh, yeah, that
you know
one.
You know the colors? It's like purple, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Do you know this?
I saw it, but... Honestly, I didn't study to understand about it.
Okay.
If you tell me
what. Yeah, I could share it. So it's like it's connected to your spine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Eastern medicine, metaphysics, blah, 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 yoga, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So crown is here,
mm-hmm.
is the crown chakra. This is purple.
Oh, mm-hmm. really?
Mm-hmm. And then blue or, yeah, I guess. Dark blue is like, it's called Ajna, and it's here, third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have bright blue, which is throat.
Mm.
And then you have green, which is heart.
Oh, that's cute.
And then yellow, which is solar plexus, so torso. Yeah. Yeah. And then orange, which is your sacrum, like your pelvis area.
Mm-hmm.
And then root chakra is like right below your anus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bottom of your spine. So each of these colors and their locations represents something.
Mm-hmm.
So yellow is confidence.
Oh.
Yeah, self-power.
Oh, flame on my house.
Yeah.
Setting fire.
Yeah, I'm a hero. I put it out. I made the fire and I put it out.
Yes.
So you're like, I'm confident. Yellow. Yeah.
Open the door like, I'm confident today.
Yeah. So, an orange is sacrum, so that's sexuality, pleasure, but also creativity.
I like all of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like interesting that you got an orange scooter, and then you come here, and then your partner has an orange car.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right.
That's a synchronicity right there.
I think the world trying to say something to me.
What do you think of this painting?
This painting, I love it. It's catch my eye when I just walk in.
Yeah.
Like, a new character.
Yeah, the little dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
All different ones.
And you got green.
Yeah, green is the basis.
Green and orange.
Green and yellow.
Oh, sorry, orange. I don't know where it came from. And the gold.
Yeah, I used some gold.
Why you pick this one have to be a green base?
I like green.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need to have more green therapy right now, color therapy.
Oh.
Yeah, because apparently, so do you know Reiki?
Reiki?
Reiki is like a type of metaphysical therapy.
Mm.
It's from Japan originally, and now like a lot of white ladies do it all over.
Okay.
And I did Reiki therapy, and that's about like, aligning your chakras, your crown, your throat, heart. And they were like, I did two Reiki sessions last week for free, randomly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my friend in Israel, she does Reiki. And then I met a woman randomly over the weekend. And she was like, I also do Reiki. Like, you should come and I'll give you a session. Very weird. Yeah.
What is Reiki all about?
It's a metaphysical therapy. So it's like feeling your vibrations in your chakras and seeing if there's any blockages.
Mm-hmm.
And then they release blockages so you have more flow of chi in your body.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And they all said, my heart is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Heart chakra. And heart is green.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I choose green sometimes to open up my heart.
I like that.
Yeah. The dinosaurs, too, is also to open up my heart because they're supposed to be cute and reminds you of your childhood. You know, all children love dinosaurs.
Yes.
And these red things are supposed to be peppers, but I didn't add the little stem yet
because
I'm trying to decide what color the stems have to be.
Yes.
And I think maybe like lavender purple.
I think like maybe our generation would be like the started of like, we not gonna let it, like once we used to like when I was like when we was young,
yeah,
like, you know, dinosaur or something like the children enjoyable, we keep it with us, even like how, no matter how old we are,
yeah,
and we keep it with us. This is like a treasure that it shouldn't leave, like, yeah. Why we should, like, everyone, like every of us have a children inside of us,
yeah,
and many of us let it dry, leave them,
yeah, we abandon our inner child,
right? Yeah. And you just like keep them,
yeah. I guess, oh, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. I saw that.
I love that interpretation, thank you. So what about you? Is there a toy or memorabilia that you've been holding on to all this time that you still have?
Like, I really like, you know, like the Cookie Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I will, like, I always got them. If I saw them somewhere, I was like, ah, that one, Cookie Monster, I will take it.
Why do you love Cookie Monster?
I don't know, they may be like, they are like the look didn't tell me to look at them in the cute way, just like, you know, like some character, they are super cute drawing, yeah. But this one,
he's kind of messy, like ow ow ow,
right?
Yeah,
but he's cute,
so cute,
right?
Wild
and cute,
yeah, yeah.
I just adore them when they do that,
and there's something free about him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even eat the cookies. The cookies just fall everywhere because he's a puppet.
So that's why you like the cookie, because you never have it.
Yeah, you can never swallow a cookie.
Never.
So he keeps smashing cookies into his mouth.
And then he's telling everyone, I like the cookie because of that.
That's genius. Oh my God, this whole time Cookie Monster couldn't eat the cookies. That's why he's obsessed. That's genius. Okay. Do you watch Korean dramas?
Oh my God.
Yeah?
I would say I grew up with it.
Yeah? What are some of your favorite K-dramas?
There are one movie that I really like is about the ranger.
Ranger? Okay.
The ranger who protects the mountain.
Okay. Yeah. Is it called Jirisan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's an intense one.
Yes.
There's the woman ranger in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Long hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they protect something.
Mm.
And it's so many message that, you know, like, and I like love drama too. I watch it too, you know, like, like make my time pass very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But this one,
it's a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
You're like full on. Yeah.
Yes.
Jirisan's pretty unique because it's a thriller, but it's about like heroic stuff, right? It's like, again, this is the hero theme coming in, you know, like. They have to protect the mountains from fires, rescue people. Correct. Do you remember the episode where somebody lost a lottery ticket?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, because of your duty. You know, like, it represents so many things about them. Like, you know, what they love, duty, and, you know, they have to sacrifice, you know, like, in many reasons.
Mm-hmm. There's also an interesting spiritual element with Jirisan, because Jirisan is a very big mountain in Korea. It has a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So those rangers are also like a little superstitious. Like, they do like respect the mountain, and they're like, oh, we don't want to, like, you know, piss off the mountain or disrespect the mountain. There is kind of that like Eastern element that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how I like it too, you know, like to respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
even
like what you're working with.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, respect is the beginning of how you show how you like what you do.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, for a ranger to decide to have that job, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, ranger is your title, but your job is really, like, you're linked to the mountain energetically in some way, right? It's pretty interesting. I thought that show was fascinating on so many levels, because there's also, like, Korean shamans who would go there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that part? Like, the lady wearing a big hat and robes, and she dances, and they do this, like, shamanic ritual.
Yes.
And the rangers are like, you are not allowed to do this.
Correct.
Because of pollution and fire.
Correct.
Right.
And you don't have the permission and many things. Yeah. I mean, like, see, like, they present many way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very diverse kind of an interesting complexity. It's like, on the one hand, the rangers are also very respectful of the mountain, and they're trying to protect the mountain, just like the shamans are doing that too. But they're like, if the shamans bring fire, it's bad for the mountain. So don't do it.
Correct. Correct. So many people believe they do this is good because fulfill their own feeling, but they didn't think enough that will harm someone else or harm, like, you know, the environment around. Then this is a good message, like, you can do what you like, of course, and make you feel like happy and fulfilled, but except don't harm someone else. If you trying to hurt someone or trying to, you know, make a pollution, that is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Yeah. So what are you into? Like, I know you DJ, you got to Madison 2 years ago. How are you adjusting to Madison? How do you like it here?
I would say I didn't like it first because it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The winters are crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's like you could die.
Barely.
Yeah.
I just, like, passed two winter, and every winter I was like, oh, my God, I made it. It's so cold.
Yeah. Have you been back home at all?
No.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I miss home. But
it'd be nice if you could go to Thailand every winter.
Right?
To escape the winter.
My dream is to bring my friend with me when it's winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, every time I saw a friend,
they
was like,
yeah. Cold. Yeah. Yeah. I want to show you what it's really like. Yeah.
Like, hot.
I grew up in New York, and New York has intense winters too, but over here, another level. Like, totally different level.
It's cold.
It's super cold. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, once Asian people, I mean, like, except Korean and Japan.
Yeah.
Once, like, Southeast Asia people think about winter, we think, like, oh, it's like, it's gonna be like -2 Celsius. And that's what I thought too.
No way.
When my husband said, oh, it's gonna be cold here, and then I was like, ah, I'm fine. And then
no way. Right.
The game changer is the wind.
Yeah, the worst.
It can make it worse.
Yeah.
When it's like,
yeah, it beats you up.
It's like the knife just, like, cut, like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I walked 7 minutes downtown, and the wind was so intense, I thought I was gonna die. Yeah, I thought my face was gonna permanently fall off. I thought I was going to die. 7 minutes outside.
Right.
The wind was pushing me around.
Yes.
Yeah, it was awful. So, all right. So winters are rough. What other adjustments to Madison?
So I found out people here.
Mm-hmm.
They are so lovely.
Very nice.
They are so good. They are good. A lot of good people here.
Yeah.
A lot of good people to, like, make me, you know, like, homesick, getting better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That is, like, what, like, how Madison is so charming about people, so nice.
Yeah, the Midwestern niceness.
That is the other thing too. Like, everyone talk about, like, Midwest nice.
Yeah.
That could be, like, the, you know, nice to each other, and also, like, if you have friend, like, real friend here, they're they could be a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Very loyal. Mm-hmm. You could rely on them for stuff.
And they have a good heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Right. Mm. Your husband, he's from Madison?
He's from around Madison area.
So he's from Wisconsin.
Correct.
And you guys, where did you say you guys met?
We met in my art gallery.
Oh, that's right.
He trying to hit the owner of the art gallery.
Is he also an artist?
He draws something. He like flirting me with like drawing my picture.
Oh, and did you like it?
I like it. At first, I didn't know it's me. But it's a good drawing.
There was a message?
It's right. Like, I just like, he just take a photo and send it to me. And then I was like, oh, nice work. I'm not the person who never think about like, oh, someone gonna flirting me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that way at all. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like quiet. And mm-hmm. then I was like, why? I said it's nice.
Yeah, he was like, oh, it's not good enough.
My message is not communicate
it
well.
It wasn't being received. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, that's sweet. So you guys met at a gallery, and then was he staying in Bangkok, or was he vacationing, or was he working there?
On that time, he lived in Bangkok.
Oh, okay.
He's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he lived in Bangkok for like 3 or 4 years before he met me.
Oh, a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys met, started going out, and mm-hmm. then you guys got married there or here?
There.
Hmm.
And, you know, hero theme today. I'm the one who asking married.
Really?
I'm a proposed one.
Really? How did you do it?
You know, like, it comes up with, like, I live in 2018. It doesn't have to let the man lead me from what I want.
Sure.
Like, if I think this way,
yeah,
and if he didn't think this way, then yeah, we just like, you know, separate.
Yeah.
But it's easy way.
Yeah.
And if he like it and we have the same picture, then we stay together.
Great.
Right.
Yeah.
So
how did you propose?
I have prepared so many ways on that time. We into the rock climbing.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to propose there, but somehow it's like it's not come out well. I didn't do it.
Okay.
It comes out when we watch the Breaking Bad.
Okay. Tell me more.
I just like, it's so intense.
Yeah.
On that episode, it's very intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like finished. I can't remember which one, but it's very intense.
Yeah, it's Breaking Bad.
Romantic.
Yeah.
And I just turned to him like, what do you think, like, if I want to marry you, will you marry me? And he was like, huh? You know, like, once you're nervous, it comes out. You know, like, I also didn't prepare.
Yeah.
I didn't know myself that I...
End of Breaking Bad.
Right? I think because I'm trying many times.
Mm-hmm. You tried it rock climbing. Didn't work.
I tried at the coffee shop.
How do you mean try? Like, walk me through the coffee shop experience. So like, you guys, what did you do?
Like, we like to date at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
We like to, you know, do like the cafe hopping.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bangkok, it's a perfect place for that.
Mm.
And we just like, okay, pick the specialty coffee, mm-hmm. have a very good coffee, and they're brewing good. And I'm trying to like, maybe when he's happy with his favorite coffee and he feel like open, he feel happy. And then I was like, we'll be on my knee or something like that. No, not gonna happen because I'm enjoying my coffee and my cake.
Okay, so you were thinking I'm gonna get on my knees and ask him.
Yes, but...
Did you have a ring?
No.
You were just gonna get on your knees and ask him.
I'm very cheap, Popos.
All right, so coffee house didn't work. Mm-hmm. Rock climbing didn't work.
No.
So you were tired at this point, and you're like,
yeah. And he was like, you know, climb up there, and then I was like, how can I just like follow him? And then I was like, will you marry me like that?
And he's like, what?
He was like,
can't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was like, after Breaking Bad, you say that, and he's like, what? And then what?
He was like surprised, because I beg everyone in the world will be surprised, because this is not the situation that someone could ask
at the end of a Breaking Bad episode. Okay.
Yes, and he was like freezing for a while, and he was like, yes. I'm very sure he had like two mindset, like, what the going on in my life.
Yeah. That's great. That's actually smart in a way.
Yes,
because it's similar to this morning when you lit your tortilla on fire and put the fire out.
I like how you link it. Okay.
Yeah, it's like you set a fire on your boyfriend at the time with Breaking Bad and shocking him.
Yes.
And then it's, but it's a marriage proposal. This is a sweet thing.
Thank you.
Okay. So you start the fire and you put out the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Hero. Yellow power. There you go. Genius.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, so you like Madison because people are sweet, people are nice.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you like about it, or other descriptions?
I mean, it's so many small things that, you know, like, you can feel it.
Hmm.
Safe.
Very safe.
Clean.
Very clean.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And diversity here. People are very open.
Mm-hmm. In Madison. Yeah.
Yes. In Madison.
Yeah. Outside of Madison, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Literally, I live in here most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people are like very, very education about like variety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very careful. You know, they want to make sure they're not making a mistake, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But also like what they're trying to communicate, like be kind. I know it can be like too surface too, but it's also they careful enough to not make people feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's actually something I have to learn a lot, because I grew up in New York and we don't care about people's feelings.
Yeah, what I heard.
We're very direct and and honest.
That's also good.
These are good things, but you gotta balance it by, you know, bringing in respect and consideration. Mm-hmm. But in New York, there is no respect or consideration. It's just like, deal with it. Do better, you know?
So, I feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also honest and respect too.
It is.
In a way.
It is, yeah. Right? It's like, you're capable of speaking your truth, so speak the truth.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be kind thing, like if someone do something like, no, that is not acceptable.
Yeah.
They just respect to tell them the truth and let them know like this is the real world and you are suck.
Yeah.
And then try more.
Yeah.
Develop yourself.
Do better.
Yeah, do better.
Yeah, it's something I'm trying to figure out. There's a fine balance. It's like, how do you speak your truth with love, you know?
I like that.
This is hard.
That is good.
It's so hard to do, but this is the goal.
But I feel like somehow I can feel your karma very first time that we met. You are the person who speak direct, but your heart is good.
That's so nice. Thank you.
People could understand that who you are, you know, like maybe I understand how you appreciate like to respect or to be kind, but if it's not who you are, then
I can't.
It's not fun to be that way.
Oh, it's very wise,
right?
It's not fun to pretend,
right? And but this is like who you are, and then how you speak directly is from your good heart.
Yeah.
then if someone don't like it,
yeah,
the truth, the beautiful truth is not for everyone.
Oh, that's amazing. The beautiful truth is not for everyone. Yeah, yeah. I also heard, yeah, not everybody is ready to hear the truth.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
It might hurt you for sure, like in the, like the very first time you heard
it. Yeah, yeah.
But also like the sender, the person who's speaking, also like speak true, but not tension to be attacked.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It needs to come from a very neutral place, like a God place, like up here, right?
Correct.
Do you have any spirituality in your life? Did you grow up with any religion or anything when you were young?
I'm Buddhist by my nationality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I study more about like another religions.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think every religion have them own beautiness.
Oh, yeah.
And them own, you know, like belief is good.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like feel like I like how Buddhists make me feel calm and open up to another.
Mm-hmm.
Like before I was lose my face to Buddhists.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Nepal and gained my belief back.
What happened there?
Like, it made me saw like people who didn't live in, you know, fancy life. They live in like very normal life, nothing much fancy.
Very simple.
Very simple. They didn't have like a big shopping mall or like, you know, fashion to enjoy, but they're happy. They're super happy. They like, they just write something. The kid just like holding some sign like peace is possible. And I was like, what I'm thinking right now, like why I'm so empty in the big city, which is like we got everything, but I feel empty. And look at like the country, which is like limited in many ways. People feel like I'm enjoy
just fine.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my life. Why don't I have to look more? If I'm here today, I'm happy right now.
Oh yeah,
you know,
very profound. I've always wanted to go to Nepal. It's like one of these places I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go to Thailand. I haven't been to Thailand yet. Yeah, in South Asia, I've only been to Indonesia, and I've been to Malaysia. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you go to Thailand, one thing that you have to be careful about, your weight.
Because there's so much good food.
Oh my God.
I'll bet you miss that. Don't you miss the food?
I miss the food so much.
Yeah.
Just like you miss the food in Korea. Right?
Yeah. Right. Or even LA and New York.
Right.
They got amazing Korean food over there.
Okay. Madison, listen, this only thing that I feel like you need more food things.
Yeah, more Asian cuisines or supermarkets even.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Better supermarkets.
I know so many good food out there, but variety, I miss that.
Mm-hmm. What do you cook for yourself at home when you feel homesick?
Papaya salad.
Oh yeah.
Come to my kitchen if you feel like you want to like experience the authentic papaya salad. It's fire.
Yeah. You can make me papaya salad. I'll make you kimchi.
Oh my God.
And we could trade.
Oh my God. Deal.
Okay. All right. Do you have any shows coming up that you want to plug?
The show coming up will be on this Thursday.
This Thursday. Okay. This is going to go out on Monday the 23rd. So anything for the week of 23rd onwards?
I'm gonna have my birthday party at Lola's.
At Lola's?
Yes.
Yeah, what day?
The 3rd of July.
3rd of July.
I know.
So you're a Cancer?
I think so.
Zodiac, crab?
I'm not good with this. Yes, I think.
You are. You're Cancer. You're Crab. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so Lolas.
Yes, Lolas. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy and dancing, because I'm going to do, like, I'm going to play synth pop.
Oh, yeah.
Funk.
Yeah.
Disco.
Yeah.
If you like.
Yeah. That.
Come.
Lolas is amazing.
I love Lolas.
Yeah, it's a fun, fun spot. You could play all kinds of, like, elegant but fun music.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Great. I love, vibe.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you feel like, oh, but I don't know you in personally, that's fine.
Just come say hi.
Yeah, it's a public open place.
Okay.
Yeah, come and say hi. I would love to see people more. Yeah. I want to, you know, like, know people more.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Great. Well, yes. thanks for being a guest, Ming.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. This is fun thing.
Yeah.
So fun.